It's the river, the river of anointing. It's the river, oh, the river of God. There's a river,
there's a river.
I wanna swim in. There's a river,
there's a river.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Living the Good Life, a ministry of Beacon of Hope. And happy Palm Sunday to everyone. This is Pastor Jim Ellsbury. I'm associate pastor at the church. Pastor Marcia is in Orlando today with her children and grandchildren. I did speak with her earlier, and her granddaughter Rylan competed in a cheerleading competition. So we wish her the best with that, and Pastor will be returning this afternoon or later this afternoon. But I am joined today by Alice Mize.
Hello.
Hello. And Nan Watson.
Hi there.
Hey. And Becky's in the background.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, boys and girls.
So we just want to welcome everybody today to the radio program. Like I said before, this is a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are located at 3700 Olmerton in Clearwater, and our church services are at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday and 6 o'clock on Wednesday for prayer meeting, or 6:15, and 7 o'clock is normally Bible study. A couple of announcements for this week, this being a special week. This Wednesday, instead of regular Bible study, we'll be doing a Seder.
Yay.
We'll be doing the Passover Seder to really get into the meaning of Passover itself and what it was and how it applies to us today. And then on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we're having two services, the first being 6:45 at Dunedin Causeway, just across from the skyscraper of kayaks. So that'll be out there. That'll be about 45 minutes long, and then we will also be having our regular service at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. So, again, welcome, and how is everybody this afternoon?
Good. Beautiful weather.
Isn't it? Isn't it lovely? This is a great Palm Sunday.
I would like to say we had a marvelous morning service, and it was, you know, you brought the word for us. The anointing was just on the entire service, the music portion, and then just the word that you brought forth was very informative and very thought-provoking.
And I preached.
Good.
I didn't teach.
You preached.
You preached. I was so proud of you. You did such a great job.
You did a great job, Pastor.
For people that don't know, I'm a teacher. I like to get in the word, dissect it, put it back together, and, you know, just kind of dig around in it. So I don't normally preach. Pastor Marsh is normally the one who preaches. I got a taste of that this morning. That was kind of fun. And I do have to praise God, because there was turmoil this morning. We were missing part of our praise team due to injury, mm-hmm. and it was just, you know, we just had to make some really quick changes. But
oh my gosh, it's so cool how God worked everything out, though.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's because we not only had to change the music, that meant I had to change the slides, which,
yes,
of course made Nan break out in a cold sweat since she's in charge of doing the slides.
And those of us that are used to being in the background had to take front and center.
Now, that's because you wore that glittery dress.
And you did very fine, Sister Alice.
Thank you.
But, you know, I just have to say, praise God for that, because even with all the stuff that was going mm-hmm. on, you know, we prayed before the music practice started, we prayed before the service, and we trusted God that mm-hmm. it would work, mm-hmm. and it did, you know, and I really am praising God for that, because there's just so much going on, and there's just... It was just great. I mean, it was pretty miraculous. So
yeah, it was pretty cool how everything worked out.
Yes, I was so pleased. So, again, this is Palm Sunday, which is when we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And we talked about that some this morning. We're going to piggyback and take up, kind of go on from where we left off. I had told both Nan and Alice to read all of Hebrews chapters 9 and 10, so audience, you might want to be turning over there. We got about halfway through chapter 9 this morning. That's how I told Nan earlier. That's how I knew I was preaching and not teaching, because if I'd been teaching, we would have gotten through both chapters. So, but it is, it's the Sunday that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, which was a fulfillment of a script of prophecy in Zechariah, where, you know, the prophet prophesied, "Behold, your king comes to you gentle, riding on a donkey." Mm. And Jesus fulfilled that. And the people, you know, the people cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means "God save us, God save us." "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David." So those crowds were just really rejoicing. They were hailing Jesus as king. Unfortunately, they made a mistake there. Now, he was king, but not in the way that they thought.
Right.
They were expecting him to come in and, you know, I think flatten all the Romans.
I think the only kind of king they know is the worldly king, you know, the leader by force.
That's true. I think that's what they were looking for, was somebody to come in, wipe out the Romans, and so that Israel could again be its own independent nation. And that's not the kind of king Jesus came as the first time. Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, when he rode in there, he accepted their praises because he knew he was the king, but on two levels. First, King Messiah, the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. Later on in Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about when he comes back, he'll come back not with reference to sin, not to become our sacrifice for sin again. He's already done that. But he's coming back triumphantly. Then he will be coming as the King of Kings.
Mm-hmm, right.
But again, the crowd, you know, the crowds hailed him. They sang Hosanna, and I think that's a nice segue into our first song, Hosanna, by Worldwide Message Tribe.
Yeah.
Well, amen. I knew the older version of that song without all the techno and the dance kind of beat to it.
I thought that was great.
I did too. We're going to have to, the praise team's going to have to get together and figure out how to do that one for church, because that's just wild. That's just wonderful. So we talked this morning in church about Hebrews chapter 9 and what all that meant. And I had said that we talked a lot about why Jesus had to go to the cross, and kind of want to take up kind of from where we left off this morning, but just kind of a really quick recap. I talked about the old sacrificial system under the old covenant, and I'd mentioned that I've been reading in Leviticus, and the first seven chapters are nothing but guilt offering and sin offering and burnt offering and peace offering and this offering and that offering and what to do when you do this and what to do when you do that. All these little minute things you have to do if you sin. And then coming up, of course, I'll be reading about the Day of Atonement, which is when the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies that one time a year, and the sins of Israel would be pushed back for another year. But the writer of Hebrews, what we talked about this morning, points that out, that sacrifice, those sacrifices never got rid of sin. They never really cleansed the inner person, the conscience, our spirit, because they couldn't do that. They were good for making you ritually pure, but not for cleansing your conscience, which is, you know, a part of your spirit. It's your innermost, your innermost being. So let me take up with, we'll start with verse 11. I think we got a little bit past there today, but Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he's talking about the heavenly tabernacle there. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. And that's kind of where I got sidetracked this morning, wasn't it?
By the Holy Spirit took over.
Let's see if we get, you know, see if we may. But there's so much. We spend the next 2 hours talking about that again. But there is so much. Jesus didn't go before the Father with a sacrifice of a lamb or a goat or a bull. He went before the Father into the heavenly holy of holies with his own blood.
Right.
And secured, I love this, he alone secured eternal redemption. Not something that had to be repeated every year, but he secured eternal redemption. Redemption forever.
Yeah, in the Message Bible, it says, he also bypassed the sacrifices consisting of goat and calf blood, instead using his own blood as the price to set us free once and for all. Final. That's it.
That's it. And, you know, that's so important because, you know, if so many of us, I know at church and probably a good number of our listeners are also, you know, we go through things. We mess up. We sin. And, you know, we like to bring our own version of goats and calves and lambs to God, whatever that may be, you know, because it makes us feel good, like we're doing something. And I think sometimes as people, it's so hard to understand that God's already done it. Jesus has already done it. There's nothing we can add to. And in fact, we often get into trouble if we try and add something to our redemption.
Right.
If we try to give God a helping hand in saving us.
We do try to help him out.
I was going
to
say, Nan, you look like you had some personal experience with that one.
I've tried to help him out a few times. He didn't need it.
No, he most of the time does not need that, which is great. That's why he's God and we're not.
Right.
But, yeah, and the next verse, verse 13 says, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer, and that's referring to the ashes of a red heifer, which were put in a, you know, a big bunch of water to make it holy, sanctify for the purification of the flesh, which means it makes us ritually pure. Our outsides get pure. How much more, I love this, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works, there again, giving God a helping hand to serve the living God. That's just
I think that's interesting because you had been talking about in Leviticus how, and this is what something that really struck me in Leviticus, it says that you're supposed to give certain offerings for even if you feel guilty about something, whether or not you're guilty, but if you have those feelings of guilt, you're supposed to offer a sacrifice. Well, this is just another instance where God has taken care of that. There is no guilt. There's no sacrifice needed for guilt feelings because he's already taken care of it.
Right. And we may get to one of the scriptures I really struggled with for the longest time. It's over in chapter 10. So we may or may not get there. But, I struggled with it because it's like, it says, where there's been already forgiveness, there's no sacrifice left. What? There's nothing I can do? Nope. Nothing I can do. And that's okay. It took me a long time to get to that point where I could, live with that. But going on in chapter 9, verse 15, therefore, and I was always told you should see what the therefore is, therefore. So therefore, because of everything that went above, he is the mediator of a new covenant, talking about Jesus. So that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. There's that word eternal again. So how long is our inheritance good for?
Forever and a day.
Forever and a day. Or as we sing in church, forever and ever and ever, ever and ever. Ever. Yeah. Okay, we're going to burst into song. I did that this morning too. So Pastor Marsha, when you're listening to this, just know I too sang during the service.
And he did a fine job at it.
Thank you.
Sang during preaching, yep.
So the verses, 15, 16 in chapter 9 talk about a will. And it's funny, in the Greek, the word for covenant is the same word for
a will.
Mm-hmm. Which is really kind of cool. But it talks about, in verse 17, a will takes effect only at death. I wonder whose death they might be talking about there.
Could it be Jesus?
Could it be Jesus? Exactly. Since it's not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. And then, I love this. Verse 18, therefore not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. Mm-hmm. Remember, and then the writer of Hebrews, who had a really good knowledge of the Old Testament, of the Old Covenant, said, when Moses declared all the commandments in the law, to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats and water with scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book of the law and all the people. So, that first covenant was inaugurated in blood.
Right.
And, at Mount Sinai, there were sacrifices made. The people were sprinkled with blood. They were set apart at that point to be part of the part of that covenant. And he said, this is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. And in the same way, he sprinkled the blood with the blood, both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. And I read that in Leviticus too. I mean, everything, even the tent curtains had to be sprinkled with blood, doorposts, tent curtains, everything. Because that's what set them apart. That's what made atonement for them. That's what covered their sins. And in verse 22, and I want to spend a little time here on verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Why is that?
tell us, Pastor Jim.
Why?
Okay.
I don't know why.
Nan, could you go to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11? Nan's going to tell us why when she gets to Leviticus chapter 17.
And Nan's having problems finding it.
Right after
Genesis,
Exodus,
Leviticus.
Oops.
But there is a reason that the blood is so important. And I once heard Kenneth Copeland talk about, all primitive cultures have some sort of
blood sacrifice. Blood is like this is life. Blood represents life. That much I know.
Stop quoting Leviticus 17:11.
Oh, was I doing that?
Yes, you were doing that.
You said 17:11?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, the King James, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul.
Okay, for the life is in the blood, like you said, Alice.
Yeah.
It's in the blood, and that's why God, under the Old Covenant, set up the substitutionary system with the lambs and the goats and the bulls and all that stuff, because obviously we didn't want to go around sacrificing humans. You know, that would have been a little beneath the Lord. But he set up a sacrificial system so that the innocent would die for the guilty. Our life, our sin would be transferred to them. Their life would be poured out as a sacrifice. Mm. So that's why it's the blood that brings forgiveness.
And all that is necessary going back to the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, and because of their sin, death was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
So because of the death, of the death nature of sin, there has to be life to cover that up.
Right.
Okay, I'm getting it.
Yeah, and quiz time. What did Adam and Eve try and cover themselves with?
Leaves.
Fig leaves, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so they pulled down some fig leaves to try and cover themselves up when God was looking for them in the garden. What did God do? Once he found them, once he talked to them, what did he provide for them?
Clothes.
And where did those clothes come from?
Animal skins.
Yeah. He provided animal skins. God himself made the first sacrifice in the Garden of Eden. And that is so symbolic, because what did they do? They put on the animal skins.
Mm.
So when God looked at them, he saw the animal skins. He saw the substitute.
Mm.
That amazing. I mean, and God's the one that initiated that. Mm. And then even before, you know, Moses came along with all the Levitical laws and everything that God gave him, you think about Abraham. Abraham, you know, an event would occur. Abraham would make a sacrifice.
Right.
You know, that would be in Leviticus probably a peace offering or a fellowship offering.
Mm-hmm.
With God, but then that one point he did cut the covenant with God in Genesis 17, where he cut the animals in half and laid them on each side,
mm-hmm.
and then God came and walked in between them. That's, you know, that's cutting a covenant. But again, blood had to be spilled, the innocent for the guilty. Mm-hmm. And then God set up the entire sacrificial system. And, you know, Christianity itself has been accused of being such a bloody religion. You know, we're just all about the blood.
We are
all about the blood. And if it wasn't for Jesus shedding his blood, no atonement, no forgiveness, no nothing. You know, I mean, I made the point this morning, you know, Jesus didn't come just as a teacher. Just as an example, he came as the Lamb of God.
Well, if Jesus had not sacrificed himself, we would still be under that old covenant and still be having to make the sacrifices of the animals.
Yep, and we'd have a hard time doing it since there's no temple to do it in now. So that could be a problem. So, you know, verse 23, it says, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So remember when Moses was on Mount Sinai and he received from God the plan for the tabernacle. And what did God keep telling Moses? As he's giving him the plans for the tabernacle. It's okay, Moses, you don't have to do it quite the way I said, told you to.
No, he said, do it exactly this way.
Yes, exactly. Do it exactly according to what I've shown you.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing in that tabernacle left to chance.
Hmm.
And God told Moses, he was so specific a number of times, make it according to the pattern you've seen. Well, here, you know, the heavenly things had to be purified then with better sacrifices. Moses, God told Moses, you purify the physical with the blood of lambs and bulls and goats. But it took something better to purify the heavenly sanctuary, which was the Nan.
Pastor.
If the blood of bulls and goats and lambs wouldn't cut it, what had to cleanse that heavenly temple? What had to be taken there?
Jesus.
Exactly, the blood of Jesus.
I was going to say that. I was afraid it was the wrong answer.
There are no wrong answers. I promise you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel like you're on a quiz show.
I know. Yeah. Verse 24, for Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands. Okay, so not of this creation, which are copies of the true thing. So it's like God gave Moses a vision of the heavenly tabernacle. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that is so cool because, of course, none of us have ever seen the real tabernacle. I've seen a couple of representations of it. There's a really cool one over at in Orlando at
what's the name of the place?
I don't know.
Okay, now my brain just went right out the window. I even have the T-shirt. Oh, Holy Land Experience.
There you go.
They've the really cool representation of the tabernacle, and they tell you all about it. So that's cool, but. Christ, Messiah entered not into the holy places made with hand, which are copies of the true things. So I just like to picture Moses. God says, okay, here it is. Write down all these, you know, engineering specifications. I'm going to take you on a tour of what's in heaven.
Wow.
But he went into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf.
So what that's saying is that Jesus did not go into the holy of holies of the physical temple.
Right.
But when he ascended to heaven, and that's where his sacrifice was made.
Right. That's when he presented his sacrifice before the Father. And obviously Jesus being both fully God and fully man, the Son of God, he could have gone into the Holy of Holies if he wanted to.
Right.
But since he was born of the tribe of Judah, he could only get as far as the outer court of the temple. You know, he was not of the priestly tribe of the Levites, so he could only go so far. So, yeah, he didn't go into the one on the earth. However, he went to a much better one. He went to the one in heaven. And he says, nor is it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he'd have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. Hmm. And Jesus went to the cross how many times?
Once.
Once and once only. Mm-hmm. There are some churches, and I won't step on any toes, but that, you know, reenacted every Sunday. And we don't have to. It's been done. It's once for all. Mm-hmm. Okay. He suffered one time. That was enough. You know, I talked about that this morning. That one time was more than enough. And it says, but as it is, he appeared once for all at the end of ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's a great verse. He appeared once for all. Okay, one time. One time only. This is it. This is enough.
Can I read that in the message?
You surely can.
It says, but instead he sacrificed himself once and for all, summing up all the other sacrifices in this sacrifice of himself, the final solution of sin.
Exactly. Oh, that's good. You know, he summed up, yeah, and that's true because when Jesus went to the cross, when he went to Calvary, that one sacrifice was every sacrifice that had been prescribed in Scripture. From, you know, all the little offerings in Leviticus to the Day of Atonement to all the others, that one sacrifice was enough. And then it says, and just as it is it appointed for man, for people, to die once, and after that comes judgment, So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting him.
Ooh, there's praise God.
There's a lot in these two verses, too. So just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that the judgment, that kind of pokes a hole in reincarnation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's basically everyone dies one time. There is
Some people are going to die twice, but that's another preaching.
It says right that everyone has to die once.
Mm-hmm. Is appointed for all men to die.
Right.
Okay. So, and after that comes the judgment. So it's not an endless cycle of reincarnations, trying to purify yourself through an endless cycle of reincarnation so that you can get to karma and you can get to nirvana and see Kurt Cobain. And, yeah, it's once, and after that's judgment, which is why in this life, we have to come to know Jesus. I mean, this is the fire insurance part of all this. You know, we have to, because once we die, we're going to be judged. And
we're going to have to face the consequences
of what we did. Yeah. Yes. And if those sins have been completely taken away, then there will be no judgment. Our works will be judged and weighed and valued. Paul says that, you know, we'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that our works, things we did in the flesh, will be judged. Our motives will be judged and will be rewarded, or the work will be burned up, depending on what it was based on. But here, there, you know, we die, there's a judgment. And so Jesus, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, is coming back, not to come back to deal with sin. That's already been dealt with. But he's coming back to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Mm-hmm. Now that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And I'm waiting for him. How about you?
Oh, yeah. Eagerly awaiting.
Eagerly.
And I like that, you know. There was some movies back in the 70s and early 80s that dealt with the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And the third one of that series had him coming back as a baby. You know, for those of you that didn't see me just roll my eyes, I just rolled my eyes.
And very well.
And I understand that actually the writer of that wanted that part taken out because he knew that was foolishness. You know, because Jesus isn't coming back as a little baby in a manger. He already did that.
Been there, done that.
Wise men have already come and gone.
Right.
So he doesn't have to do that again. Mm-mm. That's already, that whole dealing with sin part's been done.
He's like coming back as a triumphant leader, king.
You know, if you want to get blessed, read Revelation chapter 19. Just a little hint, we win. You know, but it gives a description of Jesus coming back. And I always get goosebumps when I read that. That is so incredible. So guess what, ladies? We made it to chapter 10.
Yay. All right.
So maybe that's why the Lord had me just stay where I was this morning. So he said, you got to save something for the radio show. And I love Hebrews chapter 10. There is so much meat in this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of the realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, perfect those who draw near. I'm just curious, how does that read in the Message, Alice?
The old plan was only a hint of the good things in the new plan. Since that old law plan wasn't complete in itself, it couldn't complete those who followed it. No matter how many sacrifices were offered year after year, they never added up to a complete solution.
I like that, because the word for perfect there, it does mean complete. It means mature. It means completely grown, basically. So not perfect like sinless, because that's not going to happen
right
this side of heaven. But it does mean we grow up. We become mature. We become complete. And the law was just a shadow Okay, just kind of a shadow of the good things to come. You know, it pointed to Jesus. I like the way the complete Jewish Bible translates Romans 10:4 about how, you know, most translations say Christ is the end of the law, finish the law, whatever.
Right.
It's the same word here for perfect that's in that verse. And it, the complete Jewish Bible translates it for Christ is for Messiah is what the Torah aimed for, the goal at which the Torah aimed for. Mm. So Jesus is the goal that the Torah aimed for. That the law...
That completion.
That completed, that perfected, that matured it, that filled it out. Because Jesus said, you know, I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fill it up. I came to fill it out. So the law was just a shadow of that. I mean, and I think, was it last week? Maybe a Bible study. I said, you know, or I know I said it this morning, too. Read the first 5 books of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And for those of you in our situation, do not be afraid of Leviticus 18 and 20. Get over it. There are so many blessings in there, and those are ours.
Right.
You know, because we are in Messiah, we have inherited all those blessings, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's why it's just a shadow of the good things to come. Because you know what we didn't inherit? If there is a blessing, there's usually a... blessing, cursing. We inherited the blessing. What didn't we inherit?
The curse.
The curse. We didn't inherit the curse. Okay? That was taken care of where?
At the cross.
At the cross. That was taken care of on Calvary. The curses. Jesus became a curse for right. us. He became sin. He became a curse for us. He took all that. Now, yes, I'm not saying there's no there's not going to be consequences if you sin, because we know that there will be. Mm-hmm. You know, you reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, from the flesh you're going to reap destruction.
Mm-hmm.
You sow to the spirit, you're going to reap eternal life. You know, we've all probably experienced that in our own lives. You know we've done some pretty silly things. You know, we've reaped. You know, we've sown to the flesh and we've reaped a mess, basically. So
it's when we try to take it into our own hands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, none of us have ever done that. None of us have tried to run our lives better than God could, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
No.
Nan, especially no.
No.
Oh, especially not.
No.
Especially when I was running like Jonah. Oh, no.
Yes. Jonah days.
Yeah. Those were some interesting days.
Those were some interesting days.
A lot has been learned from it, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, that,
and the support of my church family.
And that's the whole point. Yeah. You learned.
Yes.
You know, if we don't learn from these things, guess what? We're going to be just like the Israelites who didn't learn. And what did they do?
They kept wandering in that desert for 40 years.
They circled in that desert for 40 years.
Didn't you say that was a 13-day journey?
It's about a 13. It could be a 13-day journey.
It's not all that far.
Okay. I mean, if they take it, you know. Even going down to Mount Sinai, which takes more time than just cutting up the coast.
Okay.
They could have just cut up the coast, and that would have taken no time at all. But they went to Sinai, and then they just stayed there, and then they just kind of wandered around, you know, for 40 years because they were disobedient.
Mm-mm.
Okay? And, you know, sometimes we do that. But, you know, in verse 2, otherwise, those sacrifices would have ceased to have been offered, since the worshipers, having been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin. And I talked about that this morning, that under the old covenant, there was always that sin consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like every year, the Day of Atonement comes. I'm made aware. I'm nothing but an old sinner. I'm just nothing but an old sinner. Okay? Well, that changed. You know, that changed when Jesus went to the cross. We're not just old sinners. We're not even sinners saved by grace.
Mm-mm.
Not anymore. We're not sinners. We don't have to be sinners anymore because of what Jesus did.
We're his righteousness.
Yeah, because we are his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, praise God for that. So I think we just need to give God some glory here. So we'll listen to Jeremy Camp singing Give You Glory.
raised a thousand voices just to lift your holy name. And we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When none can even fathom, no, not one define your worth. As we marvel in your presence to the ends of the earth.
Praise God. What a great song, Jeremy Camp. Wonderful, wonderful song. I keep saying, there's another one we should do as a praise team. That would be great. We've been talking about Hebrews 9 and 10 and Jesus' sacrifice being once for all, never to be repeated, and there's nothing we can do to give God a helping hand with our salvation.
Yeah, I think sometimes we do try to help him out a little bit. You know, we think, yeah, you know, once in a while, you know, if I do whatever and you try to fix it and it's already been fixed, you just have to ask forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we do. And sometimes we come up with our own little penances, you know, our own little punishments for ourselves. You know, well, before I can go and ask God forgiveness for this, I have to read 20 chapters of scripture. Mm-hmm. Okay, I need to read 20 chapters. I need to pray for everybody in the church, or, you know, things like that. We put these obstacles in front of us in forgiveness.
Well, we complicate a very simple process.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a simple process, and we complicate it.
Right. I mean, all you have to do is repent.
Right.
Ask forgiveness. Okay? And repent is, I'm sorry, I'm changing my direction. I'm making a 180-degree turn. I'm coming back to you, Lord. I'm sorry, I ask your forgiveness. You know, that's all God requires. And that's so simple. I think sometimes it's too simple.
It is very simple. We tend to complicate it.
Well, why do you think that is?
I think because we feel that, I don't know, I think in some respects maybe we feel we know better than God, or we feel that it can't possibly be that simple. This is such a big thing that has happened that I've done or whatever, that it can't be that simple that I just have to say, God, I'm sorry, I'm changing things. Forgive me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I for myself, I know I have had a tendency to want to beat myself up over things. And that's like part of the thing to do that before asking his, you know, just you don't have to do that. We do complicate it.
Yeah.
Right.
We just complicate it, you know.
Well, we make it very hard, and who might want us to make it hard?
The enemy.
Yeah. So, of course, the enemy. Because, you know, I'm picturing in my mind, this tells you kind of where I sometimes come from, but the movie Wayne's World with Wayne and Garth. I'm not worthy. We're not worthy. That's kind of how sometimes we come before God. And, you know, on one level, of course, we're not.
Right.
On our own. But if we've trusted in Jesus, then he made us worthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not, I don't have no big ego about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's only in Christ. Apart from Jesus, I'm nothing.
Right.
Okay? None of us are, apart from Jesus. But in Christ, if you go through the New Testament and look at every place it says we're in Jesus, through Jesus, mm-hmm. by Jesus,
mm-hmm.
in him, there's so many promises that we have that, you know, we are made worthy. By the blood of the Lamb,
mm-hmm.
we are made worthy. And that's my issue. I just don't think I'm worthy enough to come before God. I have to suffer a little bit before I can come before God.
And on your own, you're not worthy.
Exactly.
But we forget the...
We're not on our own.
Right. We forget that piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we forget that, yeah, in us, you know, Paul even said, in me nothing good dwells except Jesus.
Right.
And that's all that matters. You know, that's really all that matters. So, you know, it says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So that I think that also means it's impossible for all our little penances, our little beating ourselves
mm-hmm.
up,
mm-hmm.
our knowing better than God does, to take away our sin. You know, we can expand it to that. It's impossible for those things to take away sin. I know one of the things I would do is, okay, I won't talk to God about this sin. I'll just go on about my business and read my Bible and whatever. But eventually I got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, if I put enough distance, time between me and the screw up that I did, then it won't look so bad, you know, but it's still there.
Right.
And, you know, God says, well, what did Adam do? What did Adam and Eve do? They sinned and they heard God walking in the garden. What did they do?
Hide.
Yes, they ran away.
Mm-hmm.
People in my generation might know this song, Don Francisco.
Yes.
Okay, Nan.
Yeah.
Has a song, and I have on cassette of all things.
Sure, it's not 8-track.
No, it's on cassette. His early hits, and one of those songs is "Adam, Where Are You?"
Oh, that's an awesome
song.
Isn't that an awesome song?
Because he talks about God calling for Adam, and mm-hmm. down through mm-hmm. the ages, he calls to all of Adam's descendants, Adam, where are you? And God still calls, and we have a tendency to run and hide.
We do,
but we don't have to.
Right.
That's the good news. Paul says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He's not mad at the world anymore.
Mm.
God's not mad at you. Yeah, if you don't come to know him through Jesus, there will be consequences. But he's not sitting up there ready to smack you down just because you sin. You know, he proved that on the cross.
One of the things that I always had, and I still have, I think, trouble wrapping my mind around the fact that the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross has covered and taken care of any sin that I have already done and any future sin that he already knows about and I have no clue is coming up. You know, and it's one of those things that really boggles my mind that he already knows what I'm going to do from this point in my life till I'm no longer in this life. He already knows everything that's going to happen, and he knows I'm going to mess up, and he's already taken care of those mess ups.
Yeah. And on some levels, that can be very scary. God knows what a screw up I am. But on the other hand, it's very comforting. God knows what a screw up I am, and mm-hmm. He still loves me.
Yeah.
Okay. He, you know, He destined us. He knew us from our mother's womb, and He foreknew that we, you know, He knew beforehand we were going to come to Him. And yeah, it's amazing, and that's part of Jesus' sacrifice being once for all, never to be repeated. We can't add anything to it. And we certainly don't want to take away anything from it. But we can't add anything to it. And that boggles my mind, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said in church this morning, all the way from Adam and Eve to the very last sin that would ever be sinned, Jesus took care of it all.
It's already taken care of.
But I thank you for bringing that down to a personal level. Yeah. I mean, I know the day I asked Jesus into my heart back in the Dark Ages, just after the Ice Age. And yet, yeah, it was easy at that point to think, okay, everything I've done up to now is forgiven. It was a little more difficult, you know, because that was almost 40 years ago, to think about, and believe me, I have sinned some big ones in the last 40 years. And yet, you're right, God knew. He knew. And if the sacrifice, this just popped into my head, if the sacrifice wasn't good enough, Jesus' sacrifice wasn't good enough, why bother coming in the first place? Because if He only took care of our sins up to the time of our salvation, then His sacrifice was not once for all.
Right.
And it's comforting to know that if I screw up, if I mess up, if I sin, He's already forgiven me. All I have to do is accept it. I'm sorry, Lord, You're right. I agree with You. I sinned. I repent of it. Boom, I can go on with my life.
Right.
Well, so you said that he's already forgiven us. Then in the midst of all what you just said, then we also have to forgive ourselves. And that's a part that has been a challenge for me at times. You know, that you ask His forgiveness and to move forward, and then I can't seem to move forward because I'm still beating myself up.
Well, know? To me, part of that is you know, how the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to judge one another.
Mm-hmm.
I think it applies to ourselves as well. We shouldn't judge ourselves in a condemning way. That's God's privilege,
and only God's.
Right.
Mm.
Again, sometimes.
So when you're beating yourself down, like, and I'm guilty of it too. So when you're beating yourself down and you're feeling bad and guilty and beating yourself up about something that you've done, you have to remember it's not your place to put that on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Words to live by.
Mm. Words to live by.
And I'm guilty of it, too.
Yeah. Right. We all are.
You know, I just want to, you know, beat my head against the wall sometimes. there's my penance. If I beat my head against the wall, then, you know, God will forgive me.
Well, He already has.
I know. But
no point.
I know. So, in verse 5, consequently, when Christ came into the world, He said, "Sacrifices and offerings You've not desired, but a body You've prepared for Me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings You take no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I come to do Your will, O God, as it is written about Me in the scroll of the book." Mm-mm-mm.
Wow.
So Jesus, you know, Jesus says, sacrifices and offerings You've not desired, but a body You've prepared for Me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings You've taken no pleasure. And the reason for that is, you know, when this was Psalm 40, it's taken from Psalm 40. And, you know, after a while, the Israelites were simply doing the sacrifices, but they meant very little. Okay? Now, I'm not boasting on the church, but yes, I am. It's kind of hard just to do the same old. At Beacon, because you never know, like today, you never know what the same old is going to be.
You never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do.
Exactly. In some churches, it's pretty, some of the more liturgical churches where the order of worship is very set, it does just become same thing every time. We're going to do this, we're going to do this, and then we do this, then we stand up, then we sit down, then we sing, and all that. It becomes
routine.
It becomes just a routine, and you don't really put your heart into it. And I think that's what happened to the Israelites, to the northern and the southern kingdom. They just they, as God said, you know, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can say the right things, and we can in church do the right things, but it's where your heart's at.
You know, it's kind of interesting if you take, let's say, people who have been raised in the church all their life, and sometimes you start taking some things, those types of things that we do for granted. You have, it's so refreshing to see people come in who don't have any kind of background of it's like a new freshness thing with them that, you know, they get excited that they can do this or do that. And for sometimes people who have been in the church a long time lose part of that excitement.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, and I think that's why, yeah, for me, when I was out of the church, out of, you know, up in Chicago, I didn't go to a church for years and years and years.
Mm.
And I so missed it. You know, I so missed, you know, so it was exciting for me.
Right.
But, you know, and I know even charismatic churches like ours can get into the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know the church I went to in Indiana when I lived there. Fast songs, slow songs, worship, sermon. With ministry at the end.
Right.
And heaven forbid, you know, we always said, oh, no, if God wants to change the order, he'll do it. I saw that, it didn't happen all that often. and I think it's just because we get comfortable. And the Jewish people had gotten very comfortable. Mm-hmm. They, so comfortable that they began to compromise.
Right.
And that's what brought about the destruction of both kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdom. But Jesus said, behold, I come to do your will, O God. It's written about me in the scroll of the book. I come to do your will. And what did Samuel tell Saul, the first king of Israel? I don't want your sacrifices. Mm. To obey is better than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and your obedience is what I want. I come to do your will, O God. And that's what was really cool about this. And he said, you know, you've neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. But he added, behold, I come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. So Jesus did away with that first order of sacrifices in order to establish the second.
Mm.
Now that's really cool. I mean, that's, oof. Goosebump time. So, you know, that's really cool. And then the next verse is, and by that will, we've been sanctified. We have been, past tense, sanctified, set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Once and for all. It's done.
Once it's done.
Mm-hmm.
We have been, past tense, sanctified.
Mm.
We've been set apart once for all, forever and ever, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are rapidly approaching the second hour of...
We're in it.
Well, we're in it, I guess, now. Living the Good Life with Beacon of Hope Ministries. So, again, this is Pastor Jim Ellsbury. I'm associate pastor, and Pastor Marcia is in Orlando with her kids and grandkids. The whole troop came down. So believing she's having a really good time with them. So I am joined here by Nan Watson. Hey, Nan.
Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hey, and Alice Mize.
Hi, PJ.
Hey. And in the background
PJ.
Is
PJ.
And Michaelis today is Becky, who's here. So hi, Becky.
Hello.
So we just want to welcome all of our listeners. We've been talking a lot about Hebrews chapters 9 and 10, because this is the week that we commemorate the death and resurrection of Jesus. And, you know, it's often, I think it's a good thing, because we need every so often to really think about what his sacrifice means.
Mm-hmm.
What his sacrifice means for the world, what it means for each of us, and what his resurrection means. So, Yeah, Alice pointed out we have something on our agenda here, so I'm going to let her talk about prayer ministry.
Somehow I thought that would happen.
Yeah, this is kind of cool because how many years ago? Four almost.
2008.
So almost 4 years ago, Alice came up to Pastor Marsh and said, "I really feel like I need to be doing something."
No, I did not say that. I said, "I really think that this needs to be done."
Oh,
I didn't volunteer for it.
And Pastor Marsha said, good, do it.
Yeah.
So Alice is going to explain what she did.
Well, at Beacon of Hope, we have a prayer ministry. And that prayer ministry consists of, you can either call the church or send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. That's with an IES at the end of ministries. And what we'll do is we will take that prayer request and send that out to our entire prayer group along with a prayer. We like to include a prayer so that everybody is praying in agreement, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's scriptural for us to pray in agreement. And also, it makes it a lot easier for the prayer team when they are, you know, at work doing whatever they need to do to quickly read the email and pray that prayer right then and there. Mm-hmm. And so we can make sure that the prayer requests are taken care of immediately. And also the praise reports that come in. You know, we get some great praise reports that come in of, you know, healings and just stuff that God is doing. And it's so good to get that feedback.
Amen.
So if you have, you know, a prayer request, something that you would like the body of believers to be praying about, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And also if you would like to join the prayer team, you can send an email to that and we'll get you on the list to receive those emails.
Amen.
Also, along with that, like Alice did mention about praise reports, it's really neat when a prayer request goes out, you see the prayer request, you're praying about it, and then to hear the result of the prayers, you know, that's really nice to have that
right.
And praise come back, and it's coming back a little bit more and more. I mean, that's important. It keeps everyone encouraged.
It's a great faith builder.
Right.
Because
most
you
definitely.
Can see those prayers getting answered.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. And you know why? Because we're the children of God.
Mm, we are.
Which leads us into our song, Children of God, by Third Day.
Praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our King. To Him we will sing. In His great mercy He has given us. Sing your song and rejoice for the love that He has given us.
the sons and daughters of our God. We are the saints, we are the children, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven. We are the sons and daughters of our God.
Oh, praise God. What a great song. What a great song that is. And we are the children of God. Mm. You know, and children because of what Jesus did. We've been adopted into the family.
Yep.
Well, how cool is that?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, all this, you know, that we've been talking about blood sacrifices and all that, for me, that wouldn't even apply to me if it hadn't been for Jesus, because I'm a Gentile.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So there would have been no hope for me.
Right.
Well, you said was adopted in. I think of, you know, when someone adopts a child, they're chosen, and mm-hmm. and we are chosen.
We are chosen.
We're chosen.
Now, that's
yeah.
a really good point. And yeah, chosen. We're joint heirs
right.
with Jesus, and that's important too. We're not third, fourth kids. You know, because
we're not the red-headed stepchildren.
Right. We're near. We are not the red-headed. I'm looking at Cedric here. Has kind of reddish hair. You're not the redheaded stepchildren. It's really it's cool though, because under that culture, the first son got 2/3, no matter how many, and whoever else was left got to split up the rest. We all get to share the whole inheritance with Jesus. We're joint heirs. Mm-hmm. You know, as children of God, we're joint heirs with Jesus, and that's just amazing. To me, I mean, everything, we inherit all the promises because of that.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. So we kind of stopped in verse 10. You know, by his will, we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Have been, past tense. Love that. In verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 10, you know, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. The daily there had to be lamb offered in the morning, a lamb offered in the afternoon. At the beginning of each month, the lunar months, there had to be another sacrifice. At the seven festivals, there were additional sacrifices. So, you know, the priest would stand daily doing this kind of stuff, and the writer of Hebrews says, you know, they keep doing these sacrifices that can never take away sins.
Mm. The Message Bible says never makes a dent in the sin problem.
Yeah, that's good. Mm. That's good. It doesn't. It mm-hmm. can't. But when Christ, I love it, but, whenever there's a but in Scripture, you know, you're going to, you know, whatever was in the verse before it, this is going to be in kind of the answer mm-hmm. to that mess. But when Christ had offered for all time, a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. Okay, Bible trivia. When's the only time Jesus stood up that we know of? The only time he stood up after having sat down at the right hand of God. I don't know what made me think of this.
I'm thinking somewhere in Revelation.
No.
No?
I'm not thinking anything at all, but I don't know. I can't.
Acts chapter 7.
Oh.
The stoning of Stephen. Remember, Stephen looked up into heaven, and what did he say? I see the Son of Man standing
yes.
at the right hand of the power on high.
Wow.
That's the only, Jesus has sat there. The only time we know he stood up was when Stephen was martyred. Just a little
Bible trivia.
Which is interesting because
Bible trivia, nothing to build a doctrine on.
Okay, no
Bible
doctrine's going here.
It's interesting because to me it's like, it's, you know, when you're sitting and you're watching something, something that would make you stand up is something that you've really taken notice of and something that has really affected you somehow.
Right.
So for Jesus to stand up at that point knows that he noticed what was happening mm-hmm. to Stephen and what Stephen was going through.
Right.
Which is very comforting to me because it tells me that he is paying attention and he does see what we go through on a mm-hmm. daily basis.
Right. Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, verse 14. I love going through Scripture like this. I really do. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Who wants to expound on that verse? That's one of my favorites in the whole. So write that one down, then. That's one of my favorites.
Okay, that's one of yours? Okay.
It's one of my favorites in the whole Bible.
Can I read this in the message?
Please? Sure.
It says, it was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people.
Cool.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I like the way that puts it. I mean, for by the one single perfect offering, he's made us perfect. And I like this because on one level, we are perfect. We have been made. He has perfected us. Mm-hmm. In God's eyes, when the Father looks at us, he doesn't see us. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank goodness.
You know, he sees us through the blood.
Right. He sees the sins are gone.
Yeah.
As if they never happened.
And that's
so cool because if you think about it, the initial blood sacrifice has just covered the sin. Mm-hmm. The sin was still there underneath. It's like you put, you have a dirty table and you put a tablecloth over it. It looks clean, but it's still a dirty table under there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you wash that table is now clean.
And maybe doesn't need a tablecloth.
That's right.
Which in the same way, God looks at us and we are clean. He looks at us already. And our standing in Christ is we are perfected. We are fully matured. We are complete. Those who are being sanctified. We're in the process. On the one level, we are already perfect. But we're in the process. We all know we're in the process of being sanctified, set apart more and more each day. And that's not easy, And I don't, I don't get the idea of sanctification as, women having long hair and me wearing white shirts and black pants and that.
That's not going to happen.
That's not sanctification. That's men's rules. That's what we talked about earlier, trying to get close to God on our own, by our own rules, by our own laws. And that just doesn't work. I mean, I can wear black pants till the cows come home, and it's not going to make me any closer to God.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, in my past life in churches, I can recall people who adhered to those teachings of the church, but their life didn't exemplify anything of Christ. they just did. They kind of the motion, going through the motion thing, and dressing like you're supposed to, not dressing like hair, the jewelry, the makeup, whatever. But. There wasn't any fruit going on there. There was just regimen.
Amen. Amen. That's such a good point. Because in the process of us being set apart, part of that is we produce fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The love, joy, peace, patience, all those. And not only those, but we produce the fruit of disciples.
Right.
Our life produces fruit, good works. And you're right. We can set up, and kind of like the Pharisees in Jesus' time, we can set up all these rules and extra things, because that's what they did. They had the written law,
right,
which was fine. Jesus never had an argument with the written law. It was all the oral additions to it that he griped about, that upset him, because it made it so hard to follow God that way. And sometimes we do that.
I think sometimes we make it so hard. That's why some people don't want to follow God, because it seems to be too hard.
Right. Or, on the other hand, those people who think they have to do something in order to follow God can sometimes find comfort in that, So they need freedom on both sides, deliverance for both sides. In verse 15, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Now, as it says in the book of Psalms, Selah, stop and calmly think about that.
Mm. The message says, I'll forever wipe the slate clean of their sins.
Yeah. God, when you ask for forgiveness, God doesn't ever remember. It just wiped out completely.
And it's so interesting how we will ask for forgiveness, and then we'll pick it back up ourselves and still feel more guilt and stuff about it. And so we say, okay, God, forgive me. And you're asking again. And it's like he's sitting there going,
What sin?
It's like an etch sketch, you know, when you draw a picture on an etch sketch.
Okay, Mr. R.
And then you turn it upside down and shake it, and it's gone. And so, you know, if it's like a new etch sketch and you look at it, you're not going to be able to see that there was something there before. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, how God looks at us when we sin and we ask forgiveness. He forgives us right then and there, and it's gone.
Right.
So it's really important for us not to dwell on it. I mean, we learn from the things that we've done wrong, but we can't dwell on it and allow ourselves to be consumed by guilt.
Right, because what ends up happens, invariably, you'll get drawn back into that same sin.
Right.
Okay, it's kind of that vicious addiction cycle.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jim's theory on addiction. It all started in the garden. Sin is the greatest addiction of all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all other addictions are based squarely on our rebellion against God. And sin itself, you know, think about the addictive cycle in the 12, like, you know, codependency and all that. You know, I can't remember it right offhand, but I know, you know, there's that cycle that just keeps repeating itself. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with sin, unless you break it through the blood of Jesus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's broken. You know, you don't have the shame anymore. That's gone. We don't have to carry shame. Jesus took that to the cross. We obviously don't have to carry our sin anymore. Jesus took that to the cross. It's gone. The cycle's broken. And that's good news.
Yes, it is.
Ooh, I love the way these things go, huh? And verse 18, this is that verse I was telling you about earlier that always stumped me, that gave me pause. Where there is forgiveness of these sins, there is no longer any offering for sin. What?
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
Because you think, you know, we constantly want to amend or make amends for what we feel our sins or where we've gotten off track with God, and we say, okay, well, you know, I've done that, so now I'm going to do this to make up for it.
Mm-hmm. And there's no longer a sacrifice. There's no longer any offering that can be made. What God wants as far as our offering, if we think we need to offer something to him, is an offering of thanksgiving and praise.
Mm.
That's what he wants. Our repentance. And then an offering, you know, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of sacrifice he's looking for. Ann, you look like you were about to say something.
Well, I was just thinking about bringing the sacrifice of praise. You know, there are some times, you know, there's times we can come and just praise the Lord. And I mean, everything's so cool. But there's other times it literally is a sacrifice of praise. There's times that, you know, you come in church and you walk in, you maybe don't really feel like doing that, to be honest, because you have whatever happening in your life. But as you offer that sacrifice of praise, as you begin just to praise his name and just sing praises unto him, it kind of lightens you up and you really get in that mode of bringing praise to the Lord.
And did you see Nan's face light up when she was talking
about
that?
You hear it in her voice.
Yeah.
But it's so cool. I mean, I was thinking about this morning. I didn't feel like coming in and praising the Lord. I did not, to be honest. But as I got in there and we got good, the anointing was there. The songs were perfect. Everything was great. The praise group was great. Just the praise, just the atmosphere of the anointing of the Lord within the church this morning was absolutely fantastic.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
It really was.
And I'm kind of in Nan's place. I mean, there were some, you know, there's some things going on with me, and I just wasn't having it until I walked into the church doors. And it's like, oh, okay, something's already here. You know, God's already on the scene and ministering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God ministered. I know he ministered to me during the praise and worship. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and it was different for me because I was preaching, I sat out.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't up with the mm-hmm. praise team. That's a whole different place.
Yeah.
You know,
it's been a while since you've done that.
It's been a while since I've actually sat out in the church
mm-hmm.
and sung as part of the congregation. And just the praise team's great. What can I say? You know, it was wonderful. But, you know, Jesus said, well, there's, or the writer of Hebrews said, where there's forgiveness of these, there's no longer any offering for sin. Mm. We don't need that. We can't need that. We can, but we don't. So Jesus has already provided, because Jesus is a friend of sinners, which brings us to our song, By Casting Crowns.
Friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. What we're for, only what we're against. When we judge the wounded, what if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines in love like you did? Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame. There's a reason that you came. Lord, I was that lost cause, and I was the outcast. But you died for sinners just like me. You are good, and your love endures forever. You are good, you are good, and your love endures forever.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. You know, I just have to thank the Lord for Connie picking out these songs because they're just incredible. I mean, when she handed me the disc and the schedule for today, I'm like, okay, I know this one, I know this one. And they're just perfect, and they have fit perfectly into what we've talked about. And I love that song, Jesus, Friend of Sinners.
You know, I mean, talking about Connie, you know, I mean, this is one of the many ministries she's involved with, you know, at the church. And it's just not happens chance how what songs come up. I mean, she prays and spends time, you know, selecting. And then they fit so well with the teaching that is not pre-planned at all.
Right.
You kind of know the direction you're going, but you never know what direction you're going. You know, but that's just so cool the way God brings it all together into a radio show that is of great ministry to many people.
Right. And unlike Nan, Connie did not email me or call me to find out what we were going to be talking about. No, I think it's great. Thank you for doing that.
No problem.
So we've talked about Jesus' sacrifice once for all, the one sacrifice good till the end of time and beyond, you know, to eternity future. Jesus' sacrifice is good. And the writer of Hebrews now kind of moves in. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:19, these two, Nan, are some of my favorite verses. So you can write
okay, thank you.
Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. We could spend the rest of the show talking about that, and probably all next week. But we have confidence to enter boldness. Okay? We have holy boldness. It doesn't say we just come bursting in to the Holy of Holies. You know? But we have boldness. We have confidence. You know, when the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies, apparently, this is what I understand, they would tie a rope on his leg. And so they could listen, of course, in the high priestly robes, there were all those bells and pomegranates. Well, they'd listen for the bells. As long as you could hear the bells, you knew the priest was still moving, that he hadn't been struck dead.
Right.
And so in case he was, that's why the rope was there, so you could pull the body out from the holiest to holiest.
Because you could, if you weren't presentable, then you couldn't enter.
Right. If there was one thing wrong, God could strike the high priest down.
Right.
And but we have boldness, confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened for us through the curtain that is his flesh. What happened when Jesus died on the cross? What happened in the temple?
The curtain, the veil ripped from the bottom. No, from the top down.
From the top down, the veil separating the holy place and the holiest of holies was torn from the top down, showing, first of all, that it was God's initiative to do it, not man's.
Right.
Because
man would have pulled from the bottom.
From the bottom up. Well, this was torn from the top down. And it showed also that the way into the holiest of holies had been opened up. And so Jesus' flesh being, I talked about it this morning, you know, he was flogged, he was scourged, he was bruised from carrying the cross piece of the cross. By his body being torn, that's symbolic of the veil being torn in half. And so we have boldness to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus. And the writer goes on to say, and since we have such a great high priest over the house of God, you know, and earlier in Hebrews, you know, the writer dealt a lot with Jesus being our high priest. And what did Jesus do the night before he was, or the night that he was betrayed? He offered up that high priestly prayer that's found in John chapter 17. So we have such a priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. We're invited into God's presence.
Right.
Let us draw near with true hearts in full assurance of faith, not in part assurance of faith, but in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we're invited to draw near to God.
That's so cool. I mean, that, you know, when you do that, You know, when you draw close to God, things that are happening around you, within you, seem to kind of fall to the wayside some as far as, what am I trying to say? Just in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is so cool.
It's like that song says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. And that's what happens.
Glorious.
Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, when you as you draw close to God, all of these problems, all of these issues that crop up and seem so important to you when you're, you know, just on your own and not seeking God's presence, when you seek His presence and seek His face and seek His will for you, then all that stuff just seems to be not so important. And it does. It falls away and you realize, you know, it's not such a big deal. And you just move on and you leave it behind you, mm-hmm. which is what I really feel God wants us to do.
Right. Well, we can't grow in our relationship with Him, and we can't complete or fulfill the ministry He's given each one of us unless we do that. You know, we have to keep stirring up the gift that's inside of us, mm-hmm. and we have to fulfill. Paul told, I think it was Timothy or Titus, fulfill the ministry that you've been called to. And each of us, you know, has a ministry. Just because we're not a pastor or a teacher or in the praise team or whatever, God has a ministry for each one of us. You know, think about the four of us here at this table. Mm-hmm. I may be an associate pastor and a teacher. Nan's ministry is just
people.
There's no other way to describe it.
Nan's got a people ministry.
Peeps.
Well, and so does Becky. Becky's a little evangelist over here, bringing folks in all the time. You know, and Alice, singer, you know, and you proved that this morning, girl.
Yes. Like I said, that was God blessing y'all's ears.
That was awesome.
Oh, I see.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, well, it was God.
It was God.
It was wonderful.
It was.
So,
well, you know, you were talking about stirring up the gifts, and I know on the radio shows before when I've been involved with them directly, I always manage to make reference back to church attendance and how important that is and how we can encourage you. I can, you know, encouragement to each other with the gifts that we have, just, you know, the encouragement,
right.
You know. It's encouragement to you, Alice. I know that it is, or I think that it is, when we tell you what a great job you did.
Oh, yeah.
The anointing was there. That's encouragement to you. It's helping you to stir up the gift within you,
right.
That you have because of, you know.
Yeah, that feedback is important to anyone in the ministry or, you know, even if you're not, you know, in the big capital M ministry, you know, but you have a ministry of, you know, just speaking to people or
right.
whatever. If you don't get that feedback, you know, someone saying, hey, you know what you said, it really affected my life or it really mm-hmm. helped me. When you get that stuff, it encourages you to keep mm-hmm. going because you're seeing how lives are being changed and affected
right.
By your obedience to God. And
right.
then I think that's what it all comes down to is being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, for me recently, I've had some major upheavals in my personal life. And it would have been very, very easy for me to crawl into a shell and say, you know, I can't sing on the praise team right now. You know, I can't do this. I can't do that because I'm dealing with all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that that's not what God wanted me to do. God needed me to continue in the path that He has set out for me, and that includes singing on the praise team and doing ministry work the way He's assigned it to
mm-hmm.
me. And by doing that, I have been blessed immensely, and I know that other people's lives have been because they have told me so.
Right.
Right. Well, and it's the same thing with me. There's stuff going on, and Pastor asked me the Wednesday before last, when I talked. About, you know, our Jewish roots. Mm-hmm. When I started that series, she said, are you sure you can do this? I said, Pastor, I have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I knew, you know, I had to preach this morning. And it's mm-hmm. not that I had to preach, but I had to preach. Mm-hmm. It was, you know.
It's mm-hmm. a step of obedience, and that's
right.
so important.
Right. And it is. I mean, yeah, because I could have said, no, I don't feel like it. I'm just going to get up here and, you know, be done in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I read these two chapters out of nearly every version I have. And those of you, Pastor Jokes, I don't have 140 Bibles. I have like, I probably read
150?
It out of, no, I probably read it out of six or seven different versions
wow.
just to get a kind of a feel for these two chapters. And that was an act of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to. I mean, it's like, was it Jeremiah, the prophet, said, you know, if I say I'm going to keep quiet, I can't. It's like a fire that burns within me. And I can't hold it back.
Right.
And it's the same thing. That's what God wants for each of us, is to have that fire burning within us so that we can't hold it back. And no matter what is going on, that we draw near to Him,
mm-hmm.
like you said, Alice, so well, everything else just kind of falls away,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to do what God wants us to mm-hmm. do. And it's scary. It's a step of faith to be able to do that.
It is, but, you know, I know, you know, especially recently for just personal experience, when you step out in faith like that and you do what you know God is calling you to do, it's such a refreshing, uplifting, joyous feeling knowing that you've done what God wants you to do.
Oh, amen, because that's how I felt after service today. It's like, you know, I came here, and I had thought about sitting out of the praise team today just mm-hmm. because I was preaching. I thought, well, I'll just, you know, sit back. And then preaching, and it's like I did what God wanted me to do. I mean, and, you know, my own flesh, the devil, tried to get me not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it. So, ha ha, devil.
ha ha.
Nanny boo boo.
But I felt it feels good to look back and say, you know, I did God's will there.
Right. You know, and things that came of that, of course, many of us, you know, those who were there this morning, I was blessed. I learned a lot. I was blessed. And, you know, even after then the preaching, you know, we had people respond to mm-hmm. that and come to the Blue Line to get prayed for whatever was happening in their lives, you know. And so, that just was like a great ending to a morning service is
amen.
When people responded. That's what it's all about, is us responding to God.
Right. And yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, the writer here says, therefore, in view of everything that's come before, in view of Jesus' sacrifice, since we've got confidence to enter, since we have a great high priest, let us draw near.
Mm.
And if you go through the book of Hebrews, that phrase, let us, is all through Hebrews. It's just one big exhortation. Let us do this. Let us do that. Let us do this. And the writer here says also, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That is so cool.
The message said, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word.
Amen.
Amen. That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. That'll preach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Hold fast our confession of our hope. And read that again in the message. I like that.
Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word.
Okay. There's the promise. You know, it's the promises that do keep us going.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We latch, you know, we talk about promises of healing, salvation, deliverance, prosperity. And those are the promises that keep us going, because he's always going to, he's good to his word. He who promised is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's full of faith. His faithfulness, great is his faithfulness. It's not going to stop. And he backed up his word by the sacrifice of his son.
Right.
You know, praise God. So we can hold fast the confession of our hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that. To hold fast the confessing our hope, not confessing our despair
mm-hmm.
or our doubt or our lack of faith. And I'm not saying that we don't talk about that, okay? Because there's somebody, you know, I just pray for me because I, you know,
right,
I have a lack
right.
of faith. But it's like Paul's saying we confess, or the writer of Hebrews is saying we confess our hope, okay? My hope is in you, Lord.
That's a song.
I just about broke into it there. But my, you know, our hope is in God. And of course, ultimately the blessed hope, the return of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to talk about our hopes. Okay.
I think we're encouraged, you know, when I hear you talk about yours or Sister Alice talk about hers. I, you know, it's encouraging to me. in my walk. And I think that's the way we encourage each other.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it needs to be. I mean, we need to encourage, because who wants to come to church and be discouraged?
That's true.
Well, unfortunately, I've had that experience where I've gone to a church and I walked out of there feeling condemned and disheartened. And I'm like, wow, this is not a good thing.
No.
Not our church, but, you know, in the past when I've been to churches, you know, I felt that way. And it's like, that's not what God intends.
No.
You know, God intends for us to be encouraged and uplifted and
edified.
Edified, yes.
To be built up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what he wants. That's what should come out of church. Because the God we serve is a magnificent God. He is an awesome God. He's also magnificent. As we're going to hear from Hillsong now.
Songs of joy as the morning wanes, we your children give you praise. You are magnificent, eternally
a great song. I mean, does that song not kind of put a capstone on everything we've talked about
today?
Nothing can compare. That's the whole message of the book of Hebrews. Jesus is incomparable. He's above the angels and above the old covenant. Oh, he's magnificent. That's what's so great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that song just puts a capstone on everything we've talked about so far. And I think Dan actually last segment skipped ahead to these next two verses.
Oops.
The last two verses we're going to talk about. But again, there's another let us here.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, and you know who you are, but encouraging.
No guilty condemnation here.
No. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Mm-hmm. Can I read it in the Message Bible?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
No. I'm joking.
Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. I like that because, you know, spurring each other on, it's like, you know, the cowboys with the spurs on and they kind of, you know, kick the horse a little bit. We need to kick each other once in a while in God's love. Encouraging each other, you know, to like this, for instance, you know, Nan, you said that you got encouragement from hearing what, you know, I had to say and what Pastor Jim had to say, and that encouraged you. And we should do that. We should enter into dialogues with each other where we can encourage each other, and people can learn from the mistakes that we've made, and we can learn from the mistakes that other people have made, and not just the mistakes, but also how God has worked in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go out of our way and do that. You know, do something a little extra special sometimes for someone, you know.
Right.
Give them a call. Send them an email. Send them a card. Something, you know, just things like that mean a lot to people.
Right.
Mean a lot to
Absolutely.
People, you know.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Nan.
Well, no, we've been doing some cleaning on my house still and sorting through some stuff, and I ran across some cards that was given to me back in the 1990s, you know, and it was like, wow, and they were cards of encouragement. He's laughing. Why is he laughing?
No reason, Nan. You know why I'm laughing.
But, you know, just of encouragement. I'm like, wow. And I pulled it out and kept them and keep them with some stuff. That was from the 1990s that someone took the time to send me a card to say thank you for what you're doing. You know, thank you for what you do for us. Thank you. You know, that goes a long ways. There's a card sent by someone 20 years ago. It still could touch me when I read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way we need to touch each other.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, how to stir one another up to love. Okay? We need to work on stirring each other up to love and to good works. You know, again, that goes back to that encouragement. We don't need to discourage everybody. We get enough of that in the world.
Yeah.
The church should be the last place you get discouraged. We should be there to build up one another. I mean, that's what the writer's saying here. Let's think about all the different ways we can build each other up. We can just encourage us to love each other, to show good works, and not to neglect meeting together.
Mm. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. As is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, especially as you see the big day drawing near. You know, and you know me, I'm fully convinced this is the last generation. And I think, you know, Jesus is coming back very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to encourage each other because we know that there are going to be rough times. Paul says there'll be perilous times. Mm-hmm. So we have to encourage each other to stand in that day.
And I think the most encouraging thing is that we have to remember that we know who wins in the end.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, we know who's victorious. And that's the side I'm on, you know. And so that's encouraging to me. I know that no matter what I go through, no matter what things may be affecting me personally, I know that in the end, God's plan is going to win out and God's going to be victorious. Mm-hmm. And that's what counts.
And that's why I hold on to Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will complete it. Now, you know, we want to rush things along. But it said, Paul said, we'll complete it in the day of Christ Jesus.
Right.
So, you know, some of the things we pray for, like salvation of family members and stuff, we may have to wait till the day Jesus comes back, but, you know, it's going to happen. We just have to have that little bit of patience. And again, you know, we have to be patient with one another.
Mm-hmm.
How can I encourage, you know, love in you and good works if I'm impatient because you're not doing it as fast as I think you need to?
Mm-hmm. Or the way you think they need to do it.
because you're going to get a little bitter. There's going to be a little nastiness in your voice. And that's not encouraging. That's just being nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, wow, what a time this has been.
Time sure does fly, doesn't it? It does.
Praise God. Before we pray, I do want to pray before we go off the air. But any final thoughts, Nan and Alice?
Well, I just jotted down that Jesus' love covers all sins, and you know, when people are listening to this radio show, we don't know who they are, we don't know what they've been through or what's happening in their life, but Jesus, I want to encourage him. Jesus will cover whatever sin you've done. Just ask his forgiveness, and his love covers it all.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
amen.
I'd like to encourage people not to pick it back up, as hard as it may be, you know, that know and truly believe that once you've given it over to God, once you have asked him to forgive you, there's no reason to feel guilty. There's no reason to feel like you are less than, because God has forgiven you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you confess to him and you do, you know, what you can to not repeat it and to turn away from whatever that sin is, God's forgiven you, and you are not less than.
Mm-hmm.
You're a joint heir with Christ.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, and kind of summing up both of that and then what all we talked about, I don't know how it popped in my head, but that really old Scott Wesley Brown song, It Is Finished.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, it is finished. Christ has won.
Mm-hmm.
It is written of God's Son. You know, that's what this whole, today's, you know, whole radio show has been about. It's written. All this that happened was already written, already ordained, that Jesus would come in the flesh, that he would die for us, and that, like we're going to celebrate next week, he would rise again. That's the gospel in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
He came according to the scriptures. It was prophesied. He died, was buried, he rose again, and he's coming back. That's the gospel. All we have to do is accept it.
Right.
And you know, we talked today, it's final, it's over, it's mm-hmm. done, the sacrifice has been made. There's no, the final atonement has come, okay, to quote a song from Lamb, mm-hmm. you know, to give us new hope through God's Son. It's just, there's nothing else we can do except believe and receive.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to spend a couple minutes in prayer before we leave the show today. Pray for our audience and just encourage everybody. So, Father, we do just want to lift up all the people that have listened to us today. We pray, Lord God, that the word that's gone forth would be seed.
Mm.
Father, that it would just be seed planted in their souls that would bring forth a tremendous harvest. Father, where there's people who need to be saved, Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you would save them, that they would hear the word, Lord, and that they would draw close to you. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would just take the blinders off of people's eyes, that they would see the simplicity of the gospel, that they would know that you, Lord, love them, that you love them enough to send your only Son, that he died and rose again. Father, for whatever other needs there may be out there, whether it's healing, because we know that on the cross, Jesus not only purchased our salvation, but he purchased our healing, our health, our wholeness. And Father, I just pray that where there's brokenness in our listeners, that you would just heal that brokenness, that you would just make them whole. Lord, where there's pain, I pray that whether it's even physical or emotional, Father, in the name of Jesus, just move among our audience, Lord. Bring health and healing and wholeness and deliverance and peace. Father, we give you thanks and praise because we know we're in agreement and we know you hear our prayer. And we thank you, Lord, that we're gonna hear praise reports. The people just being delivered and saved and healed and everything today, Father. And we give you thanks and praise for the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you, Jesus, that you came, you took on flesh. We thank you that you went to the cross for us. We rejoice in your resurrection, and we eagerly await your second coming. Father, we give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I just want to take a moment. If, and I'm serious, listeners, if you need to know about, you know, have any questions, how do I get saved, or any, you know, how do I get delivered, or what about the fullness of the Spirit? You can email pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. That one will go to Pastor Marcia. You can also email Pastor Jim at beaconofhopeministries.com, and I'll answer that. That'll come to me. I just want to remind everybody about our services. Again, this Wednesday night is a special service. We'll be having a Passover Seder. So we do, we do invite everybody to come. Bring snacks, kosher, unleavened bread, please. But it'll be a great time getting into the Word, finding out, you know, what all is involved in a Passover Seder. And then Sunday morning, remember, join us at Dunedin Causeway across from the Kayak skyscraper for our sunrise service at 6:45. And we're all going to be there bright and bushy-tailed, aren't we?
All in our places with bright, shiny faces.
Yes, we will be. So, but, you know, praise God for that.
Don't forget about the prayer ministry.
And the prayer ministry. Yes. If you ever need prayer at any time, just prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Like Alice said earlier, we will send out a
email
to the people on the prayer list with a prayer attached normally. And, you know, you have people across the country joining in as one, praying for your requests. So that's a wonderful thing. And again, if, you know, when, not if, but when God answers your prayer, send us a praise report. Let us know how God is working in your lives. We'd love to hear from all of our listeners. Just let us know how God is working in your lives. And, you know, how we can be, maybe, you know, can we be of, you know, can we be of more support? You know, send us your prayer requests. So, well, this is Pastor Jim Ellsbury, joined by Nan Watson and Alice Mize and Becky. Just saying thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. And you know what? It's not far to Jesus. He's right there as soon as you ask. Thanks for listening.
His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.